My friends, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed. My friends, this episode will come out after the 500th anniversary special, the 500th episode special that we're going to be doing about the Q&A. So I wanted to discuss the dangers of self-loathing and how to stop it. You might think this is coming out of nowhere, but you know, I've been feeling convicted recently to do this show. Number one, because I can tell somebody has to hear it, number one. And number two, because it's unavoidable to go through phases of self-loathing, whether it's after a divorce, after a breakup, whether it's a quarter, mid, or even third quarter of life crisis. It's unavoidable to go through a phase of self-loathing, if not live in an almost non-stop era of self-loathing. And so I think it's important for us to discuss how we can avoid self-loathing, strategies that can keep us from being stuck in this vortex of constant self-loathing. So that's what we're going to do today. Well, let me get some water real quick. You know, on a separate note, it's really hot where I'm at right now, and I'm probably going to be moving again pretty soon here. So it's nice to enjoy different parts of the world. And one of the things I've found that compete with self-loathing is to not be complacent. It's very easy when someone is depressed or unhappy or unfulfilled to create a sense of self-loathing, to say that, well, because you are the problem, that therefore you can't be the one to find the solution. You can't possibly be the cultivator of change. Somebody else has to do that. And that, without a doubt, is one of the most damaging things you could ever believe that will lead you to self-loathe. One of the best ways to get past self-loathing is to understand what it is about yourself that you hate. Because make no mistake about it, a lot of us, we hate ourselves because we don't understand what is making us unhappy in our lives. All too often, we find ourselves completely consumed with, oh, I can't do this, or oh, I'm not good enough to do that, or if only I could do X, Y, or Z. The reason that we feel powerless and almost like a passenger in our own life is because a lot of us don't have the courage to step out of our comfort zone, to step out of the boxes we've established for ourselves or other we've permitted others to put on us. I want to repeat that in case you missed it. We can't allow ourselves to put restrictions on ourselves that are only going to hurt us. We cannot simply sit back and say, oh, don't worry, it'll go away. Or if only I, whether it's you go to the bottle, you go to the joint, you go to the cigarette, or you go to women, or like there's any number of escapes. We will try so hard to avoid the issues in our lives. And I've been there, my friend. Let me tell you something. When I was in the military, I wanted so hard to be thought of as, oh, I'm a tough guy. I'm a respectable guy. I wanted so badly for other people to look at me, respect me, to look at me as a role model, for me to be a guy of high rapport. That's what I wanted. And I thought by being in the military, I thought that by being a so-called tough guy or a hero or whatever, that I could achieve that. But the hardest thing you'll ever prove is to yourself that you're worth it, my friends. I know it might sound like, oh, it's so whimsical. Oh, it's been within you the whole time, Harry. You're a wizard, Harry. The same garbage, right? You know, forgive my poor attempt at a British accent to mimic Harry Potter. But, look, I'll be honest with you guys. Throughout a lot of my life, I've been very upset with myself. I've been very upset with how my body has developed, how I think about things. I've always kind of been on the fringe. I've never been the typical guy, the typical mindset. And it's part of the reason why I believe that I developed biblical bachelorism and why I preach it. Because it's finding what works for you. While religion is important, it's only a pillar of your life. It is not the only way through which life can be understood. And I know some of you might find that to be sacrilege, but I'm sorry, I don't know what else to tell you other than the truth, as I see it. It is a pillar upon which you build your life, but no house or structure that has stood past the ages, past the war, past the passing of time has had only one pillar. And the same thing can be said for you. I remember something my military training instructor told me when I was in the Air Force in basic training. I used to have a Bible in my locker because I would read it all the time when I was feeling stressed and whatnot, and it did help. But one time during inspection, my MTI, my military training instructor, he came, he said, "Kareem," and he said, I said, "Proceeding, sir." And I walked up and he said, I said, "Yes, sir, what can I do for you, sir?" And he said, "What is this?" And he pointed at my Bible, and I was like, "It's a Bible, sir." And he said, "I know what it is, but why is it here?" And I told him, "Well, sir, it comforts me, brings me hope and all other stuff." And he looked at me and he said, "That is great. But number one, it's not supposed to be here in this locker. And number two, it is a pillar of your life. You need to focus on the physical, spiritual, the emotional, and you need to make sure that you balance all of those things. You cannot simply rely on one too much over the other." He drove that home to me, and I never heard someone explain it that way, and it stuck with me. You might ask, "Austin, what does this have to do with self-loathing? I thought you were talking about self-loathing." Oh, don't worry. We're going to tie it in, because self-loathing is tied to the lack of self. You don't fully understand why you do the things you do. How come you get the outcomes that you get? How do you become the person that you see on TV, or the person that you see in your dreams or on your dream board, or the person you want to be? And a lot of times, people around us, they give us garbage advice. They want to just give us the Mickey Mouse mentality answer. They want to give us the old-fashioned, "Oh, just do this or just do that." But there's no simple fix to identifying the sense of self. Because self-loathing is tied to, you don't think you're doing enough. You don't think that you are enough. There's some kind of deficiency that is being identified, and you're taking it out on yourself. One of the guys I respect the most in my life, who has wrote, he's written many books. He's an up-and-coming indie author. I won't mention his name. I don't know if he wants me to or not. But what I will tell you is he's encountered a lot of adversity, and he's gone through a lot of self-loathing, as have I. And one of his greatest nuggets of advice he's given to me was to not take things out on yourself, because the world will do a good enough job of doing that. The world, your opponents, your competitors, your haters, all of them will be around to tell you you're no good, you're not doing enough, you could do more, you're not this, you're not that. So why would you say it to yourself? I think I would tie it into Napoleon Bonaparte. And what he said is, one should not fear a competent enemy, but an incompetent ally. My friends, a lot of us, we see ourselves as an incompetent ally, or worse yet, as an opponent. The man in the mirror is our biggest enemy. You can't be your own best ally and your own worst enemy at the same time. But yet so many of us are. So many of us are filled with self-loathing. We're filled with the fear that we can't do something, that we're incapable of doing something. And why would we fight a war on two fronts? Historically, fighting a war on two fronts has only led to defeat. And while I could easily sit here and pretend like I have mastered this and I know everything and you should just listen to me and everything will be fine, I'm not going to tell you that, because I don't know everything. I have not mastered this. I am actively still working towards mastering it. But I don't think you need to be a master at something to preach it. I don't think you need to be a master at something to understand what it is you face. Because as much as I like to be do my own thing, be a loner to an extent, one cannot live on bread alone. It was once written in the Bible. And what that means is one cannot simply live off of one thing. You can't live, you can't be an island. You can't simply figure everything out yourself all the time. And for that's why this biblical bachelor community is so important to me. And I know it's important to some of you. You've told me as much as how important it is to you. And my friends, we need to really be honest with ourselves and be honest with others. It was Confucius who said that repentance and was part of explaining our own weaknesses, our own shortcomings. Once we talked about that and we aired our own shortcomings out in public, that was part of the healing process. And I think it's incredibly important for you, as well as for me, to be honest with ourselves as to where we're at. And I'll be honest with you, my friends, I still suffer from some self-loathing. I am not perfect. I have a lot of shortcomings. Anybody who knows me personally, they know this. They know that I suffer still with women. Not like getting sex from women per se, but the desire to be a good man mixed with the desire of pursuing the truth and knowing what I know needs to be done, because a lot of people are out there to take from me, to exploit me, extort, and they are here to extort you too. I know it because you told me as much. I know it because I walk around every day and I see it with my own eyes. The illusions, the lies, the half-truths, all of it is on broad display for all of us. The question is, are you going to be honest with yourself, where you're at, what you're up against, whether it be from yourself or from the forces that be are trying to counter you, or are you going to live in Mickey Mouse Disneyland? Are you going to live in this fake reality of total synthetic, surreal reality that's going to only lead you down the path of finding the right solution for the wrong problem? That is a question you will have to answer. To combat and to stop self-loathing, we must first understand why. What is it about ourselves we don't like? Do we not live up to the image of ourselves we think we should have? Do we feel like we're behind? Do we feel as though we are lacking something? And if that is true, how do we fix that? I've never understood women with why they want to just air out their grievances and not fix the problem. We should fix the problem. You don't go into the doctor's office and tell the doctor you just want to talk about the pain you're going through. No, you want the doctor to help fix the pain, right? So why in the world would you go to somebody else with any other intention other than to say, here's the problem, here's what I'm going through, what's your advice? But my friends, a lot of us, we wear a mask. So it's hard for others to give us good feedback because all they see is an illusion you've given them, a fake version of yourself. Just as a lot of us might not update our phones. I know I'm guilty of that. We don't update the people around us on what we're going through because either A, we don't think they'll understand, or B, we don't want them to judge us, or C, we don't want to burden them with it. I know I've been there too. If that's you, you're not alone. My friends, when it comes to self-loathing, it robs you of your joy. It robs you of the ability to be prolific and productive in your life. If you are trying to recreate yourself, whether it's you're going through a divorce, whether it's you're going through the sufferings of young Werther phase where you're trying to find out who you are or reinvent who you are, self-loathing is going to be part of the game. But you must understand that if you hate yourself, there is no way you will be able to overcome and be the harbinger of this new promised land you are trying to build for yourself, this new era of peace and prosperity you are attempting to cultivate. You can't be the bringer of good and evil in your own life. You must get past your shortcomings through accepting them for what they are. I have plenty of shortcomings, my friends, and I'll be the first to tell you, I am very upset with a lot of times my own appearance, because I suffer from acne. I suffer from not having the super muscular build that I want. I suffer from oftentimes not being mentally paralyzed and not getting enough done that I want to get done in that day. And it's very easy to get down on yourself because you don't think you're doing enough. You don't think you are enough. You think you should be doing more. You think that you could have done this better, or you could have said that in a more productive or better manner. You could have salvaged that relationship. You could have done this or you could have done that. Stop living in the past. The past is only important if it helps you avoid the future problems you may face. My friends, I'm not here to be a preacher. I'm not your pastor. I'm not some life coach. At least, I don't think I am. Maybe I am and I don't realize it. I don't think I have enough influence to, or enough wisdom to have such a mentality. But my friends, if you suffer from self-loathing, you're not alone. I am right there with you. And I can guarantee you other men are with there, right there with you in the trenches, fighting against the man in the mirror every single day. But they don't want to talk about it because they're afraid that they'll be judged, that they won't be a real man. If that is even a thing, I think that's a gigantic fraud. My friends, let me know. Do you suffer from self-loathing? How have you overcome it? Or how do you actively fight it? Or are you paralyzed by it and you don't know how to get over it? All of these are important because what works for you might work for others, or maybe there's a strategy out there you haven't tried. Because as men, we have so many opponents in front of us. So many people who are going to try to take from us, who are going to try to con us, who are going to try to come back like a boomerang and try to hit us in the back of the head when we turn our backs. We can't let that happen. But it's hard to avoid it when we're fighting a war on two fronts. So my friends, remember that you must be your own competent ally, not an incompetent one. To fight the competent enemies you will face, and you will face many of them. My friends, let me know what you think. Let me know what stood out to you and what strategies you have to overcome this adversity, whether it be from yourselves or from other people. Take care of yourselves and let me know if you have any strategies you'd like to share, because I'm open to listening to it. I know a lot of other men are opening to listening to it. But in the meantime, my friends, think for yourself. Be aware of the dangers you are facing from internal and external foes. In the meantime, I look forward to hearing from you. Take care of yourselves. I'm out. Peace.